Today's shir is Masechtik Subas Daf Chav Zayin. We will begin on Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis at the Mishnah. Teaches us the Mishnah, Isha Nishbacha Shenech B'Sha B'Day Avdi Chavim, a woman who was unfortunately kidnapped by Avdi Chavim. So the Mishnah differentiates what's the reason why she was kidnapped. Aidei Mammon, if she was kidnapped because of Mammon, that means that she owed them money, and they want to get the money that they're owed. So then they're concerned that they will not, chas v'shalom, violate her. However, the Rashi points out, that's only in the case that we just described, where she was kidnapped because she owes them money, and they're concerned that if they do anything to her, they're going to lose that money. But let's say they kidnapped her for ransom. So Rashi says that isn't considered aidei mammon, because it's not like they're trying to get money that they are owed. All they're trying to accomplish is to get money. What they're trying to do is to get money that they could earn by ransoming her. And such a situation is not considered aidei mammon. And then continues the Gemara, aidei nefashis, but if it was aidei nefashis that they want to kill her, then asur labala. So Rashi says that by aidei mammon, they're concerned to lose their money, and therefore they're not going to do anything inappropriate with her. However, when it's aidei nefashis, they're going to be noig with her minig hefker, and because they're going to act with her in such a manner, the concern is that she not only will become usher to her husband, the Kayin. That's certainly the case. But now we have a machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim say that the issue here is that she becomes usher to her husband, the Kayin, because as we've learned many times in our Masechta, that a woman who is violated, even if it was an oinus, the halacha is that she becomes also to her husband, the Kayin. But Rashi and Taisus add another element here. And the element that they add here is that not only is she also to her husband, the Kayin, for the reason we just gave, is because we're concerned, as Taisus says, that because she thinks that by having relations with these Akum, they may get appeased and they may let her go. And therefore, Rashi says that she becomes usher, Rashi and Taisa say, she becomes usher even to her husband Yisrael. Because although if a woman has relations with her, is oinous by a woman, she only becomes usher to her husband, the Kayin. But if it's done willingly, she becomes usher even to her husband, the Yisrael. The Ramban disagrees. And the Ramban says, there's never a concern that a Jewish woman would willingly have relations with the Akum, even if they're her captors. And therefore, the issue here, says the Ramban, is only regarding her husband, the Yisrael, not a husband of the Kayin. The Hagos of Fasi says that Bizman Hazeh, we could be more lenient, because even though people are imprisoned, since when people are imprisoned, they're not this civil law, and people watch what they do, and that's why the rules Bizman Hazeh, the Kos Alfasi already says. We know that when Esther was chosen by Achashverosh as his queen, she did not become forbidden to her husband Mordechai, because she did not go to Achashverosh willingly. Only she went to him when she was summoned, and that's why she was considered an anusa. However, when she approached Achashverosh on her own, so even though she was doing it for the purpose of a great mitzvah, because she was trying to save Klal Yisrael, she was doing as Mordechai had instructed her. At that point, she became a Saita, because she willingly submitted herself to Achashverosh without being summoned. Says the Ma'arik, that an adulterous woman becomes forbidden to her husband, not because of the Isser that's involved. He says that it's the act that she willingly had relations with another man, which is considered, as the Pasuk says, Mola Bamal. It's considered that she was disloyal to her husband. And since she was disloyal to her husband, that's why she becomes Usser. So the issue that, of course, many Paiskim discuss is that we know that during World War II, the women, as we're speaking in our share, were in concentration camps. And it was certainly a situation of Aidei Nefashis. Their lives were on the line. And given the pshat, the Rashi, according to Rashi and Tosfos that we just quoted, the Rashi and Tosfos are concerned that she might have, at that point, had willingly had relations with them, because that's how she thought she may be able to free herself. The question comes up, why were those women, if Baruch Hashem, they survived the war, so according to Rashi and Tosfos, why were they allowed to go back to the husband? The Ramban, according to the Ramban, it would only be an issue if the husband was a Kayin. So the Paiskim say that there's no question that no one in World War II had any intention of willingly having relations with the German captors, that they were under their control. And since there was nobody who had any willing relations with those captors, we don't have to be concerned, and we could be lenient in this question, the Paiskim say, and not make her usher to her husband. And I saw a tshuva from the Satmar Rebbe, who also took a lenient approach, and he says that even in a case that married to a Kohen, the halacha was that since the hatred between the Germans and the Jews was so significant, we need not be concerned that they had relations. And as our Mishnah just taught us, only when there's a case where there's a concern that they had relations, particularly as Rashi and Tosfos just explained, were concerned that they did it willingly, that's when we have to be machmer. Under these circumstances, we need not be machmer. Begins the Gemara Amrav Shmuel by Yitzchak Amrav. Loi Shanu, our Mishnah just told us that if she was Machmas Mammon, she's allowed to go back to her husband. So qualifies Rav Shmuel by Yitzchak Amrav. Only Shiyad Yisrael Tekifa Alav Dekachavim. Only in a time and a place where Jews have dominion over the Akum. Aval, Yad Alav Dekachavim Tekifa Alatzmam. If it's a time where the Akum are in control, I feel like they mummin, even if they were only captured because of money, still Asur Labala should become also to the husband. Because the concern is that since they feel so much in control, they'll do whatever they want. But here, say the Rishonim, that certainly the only concern is that they did it be'oinus, not be'rotzen. So even if the Gemara is being machmer now, in a situation of Yad Akum Tekifa, the Gemara is only going to be machmer for an Eishes Kayin who's also to be with her husband if there was an Oinus. The Gemara is not concerned about Eishes Yisrael. Masav Rava asks Rava on the Braisa, it says in another Braisa, Hey, Rabbi Yosef Kayin, Rabbi Zchai Ben Akaz, Abayis Yisrael Shehurna Ba'ashkeloin, there was a Jewish girl who was taken by the Akum because somebody owed them money, and she was married to Kahanim, and they were concerned that she had been nanas, and she was a zayna while she was under their hands. But there were edim who say testimony that while she was kidnapped, nothing happened. And the chachamim said to the family, if you're trusting the Eidim when they say that she was taken as ransom, then you should also believe them when they say that she didn't do anything wrong. And if you don't believe those witnesses, so then don't believe the witnesses. You don't have to believe. Don't believe them that she was taken as ransom. Ask the Gemara. But let's understand. For Ashkelon, Ashkelon was a city. The Yad Iv to come to Kifal Atzmam, where the Akum were in control. And yet, Ketani, we learned Horanon Dafka in a situation where it was Horana, where money was owed. And she was taken as ransom for paying the money. But nechbisha, but had she been kidnapped, loy, then we would not accept her, then we would not assume that she was tamei. So we see from this Mishnah that even though they lived in a time and a place that the Yad Akum were tekifa, that the Akum were control, we don't assume that there was any tumah, even if she was kidnapped. Says the Gemara, for who adin, it wouldn't make a difference what happened. If she's under their control, afilo nechbisha, we're always concerned that they will have done something inappropriate. So why did the Gemara speak about the case of Horna not nechbisha? Says the Gemara, because Masa Shahaya Kachaya. So as Rashi and Ritva explained the Gemara, when she was taken as a security for the debt that they own to the Akum, and they had not paid what they owned. And that's why, at that point, the Gemara assumed she becomes the property of the Goy. And that's why they look at her as something that they own. But in a case where it was only Nechbisha, where she was kidnapped, it would be different. But the Gemara asks, that there is no difference. Says the Gemara, there isn't really a difference. It's just Ma'aseh Shahaya Kaya. Ikad Amri, but there's a different version of this Gemara. Amar Rava Afanan Namitanina, that if the Tziyat Akum Tekifa Al Yisrael, then under all circumstances, even if it was Nechbisha Al Yidei Mamon, that we have to be concerned what they did to her. Because the Brisa says, Hey, Rabbi Yosef Akoyim, she was taken as security for a loan that wasn't paid in Ashkelon. And her family, the Kohanim, separated from her. And then Edom came and said that nothing happened. The Chachamim said, therefore, if you believe she was taken as security, for security, then you ought to believe that nothing happened either. If you don't believe that, al tamina shahorna. Ask the Gemara. For Ashkelon, they mamon hava. As we just learned, the reason she was taken was because of a financial situation. And the only reason, says the Gemara, that they were lenient was because tamad the edim eidin I saw. There were edim saying testimony that nothing happened. Ha ein edim eidin I saw. Had there not been witnesses saying that, loy, we would not say that she's tar. We would be machmer, my love. So we see from here, loy shno huarna, whether she was taken as security, v'loy shno mechbisha, or whether she was kidnapped. In both cases, we see that the halacha is that we have to be concerned in a time and a place where the Yad Akum is on top. So it's more loy, huarna shani, as we just explained. When she's taken as security, because a loan that they were owed was not paid, that's when the halacha is you have to be concerned. Because the reason you have to be concerned, because at that point they thought that they owned her. But at a time and a place where it's not Horana, so they don't believe that they actually owned her, then the halacha is that we could be more lenient. Ikadarami. But then there's a third version of the Gemara that we just had. Ikad Ramalei Mirma, that those that ask a question between the Mishnah that we're learning here and the Mishnah Masechta Idyos. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Ayidei Mamon, if she was kidnapped, Ayidei Mamon, Materis Labala. For many, but the Mishnah Masechta Idyos teaches us, Hey, Rabbi Yossi, and now ask the Gemara. For Ashkelon, Ayidei Mamon, that was a story that she was taken because of money. And Ktani, Tama, the Edom, Midanaisai. The reason we allowed it to go back to our husband because we had those Edom. Ha, ain't Edom, Midanaisai. We wouldn't have had those Edom, Loi, we wouldn't be lenient. How could we reconcile this? Mishani, and the way to reconcile the contradiction between the Mishnayis is Omer of Shmuel by Yitzchak Loi Kasha. Kan, Yad Yisrael, Takif, Alev, Dekachavim. In a time and a place where the Yad Yisrael is on top, then if it's the day moment, we could be lenient. Can in a time the Yad Avdik Chacham to Kifim Atzmon, we have to be more machmer unless we explicitly know that we don't need to be concerned because it's a place that there are Edom that could say that nothing happened. But we learned in the Mishnah, if a day nefashis, if it's a situation of nefashis, then asur labala. And as we explained, at least according to Rashi and Tosfos, the halacha is because there we're concerned that she will willingly, in order to get them to back off from her, have relations from her. Amar says the Gemara that even if it's a situation where she isn't chayv misa, still we need to be concerned that she's going to have relations with the husband. Amar Rav, what is the example? Kegoyim Nishay Ganvi, the wives of people who are bandits. In those days, all bandits, explains Rashi, were sentenced to death. And their family became Hefker. And therefore, the wife of a husband who is in that category, we have to be concerned that that's what they did to her. And as the Ritva explains, even though she isn't a ganef, it's her husband who's a ganef. But once they look at the entire family of the ganef as if they could do with them whatever they want. V'levi amar kigon ishta shel ben denoy. Ben denoy was a very famous murderer in the time of Bei Sheni, and in fact, the Gemara Masechta Saita says that we know that the Torah speaks about the parsha of an Egla Rufa. The parsha of an Egla Rufa refers to a situation where we find a corpse, Le'noida Mihukou, and we don't know who killed that corpse. And we go through, as the Torah describes, the parsha of Egla Rufa. It says the Gemara Masechta Saita that in the time of Ben Dunoi, if we found a corpse, we are certain that he was the one that killed that corpse. And if his wife were captured, and that is the type of situation where they will do whatever they think they can do with the wife. Because that's the type of situation which is so terrible that they'll do anything. But not necessarily in a case of Nishay Ganvi. So the way most Rishonim learn the Gemara, the Rashba learns the Gemara, but in Nishay Ganvi, even though in those days all Ganovim was sentenced to death, they didn't necessarily treat their wives that they could do anything they want with their wives. Only somebody who was as terrible as the Ben Dunoi, that's when they felt they could do anything with their wife. Amar Chizkiya, it says the Gemara, that this that we're learning now, by the wife of a Ganef, according to Rav, or the wife of a Ben Dunoi, is a Hushnik Medina Lariga. That's only if they were sentenced to death. That's when they feel they could do anything with their wives. Rav Yochanan Amar, Apishloi Nigmadein El Ariga. Even if they weren't sentenced to death, it's enough for the goyim to think that they could do anything with their wives. Says the Mishnah, Ir Shekavshua Karkam. If a city was captured by an invading army, says the Mishnah, Kol Kahanis Shenimtsu B'Taychai, all Kahanis that are in that city, Psulis, can no longer live with their husbands. We have to be concerned that they were violated by this army. However, says the Mishnah, Vim Yeshlam Edom, if there were Edom that were able to testify that they were with these women all of the time, Afilo Eved Vafilo Shivcha, even if the Eid is an Eved or a Shivcha, who are of course normally not qualified to be Edom, Harei Elu Namanim. However, says the Ritva, that although our Mishnah is being lenient and saying that even an Eved, even a Shivcha, could be trusted to be the aid, that's only because an Eved Shifcha, the Torah says, are not kosher Edom. But let's say you have an individual who is a Gazlan. So we don't trust a Gazlan. Says Ritva that a Gazlan would not be trusted for this Edus. Ain, however, says the Mishnah, Ain Neman Adam Al Atzmai. A person can't say testimony about himself, exactly who is included and who is not included, to say that nothing happened. So Rashi says that our Mishnah is referring to an Eishes Kayin, and as we've been learning, that an Eishes Kayin, even if she was violated, becomes also to her husband, and that's what our Mishnah is teaching us, that the Eishes Kayhanim have to become Osir. However, there are Rishonim that want to suggest that maybe even an Eishes Yisrael, as we learned earlier, may become Asr. But Pasha Peshat in the Mishnah is because we're only concerned in this case for Oinus, and since we're only concerned for Oinus, it makes a difference if it's an Eishes Kayin or it's an Eishes Yisrael. Ritva, the Pnei Yeshua asks, V'ein Neman Adam Neman Alidei Atzmai. So ask the Pnei Yeshua that our Mishnah seems to say that a person can never say testimony about something that affects him himself. Ask the Pnei Yeshua that we know one of the most fundamental halachas is Eid Echad Neman B'Yisurim. If a man or a woman say that the food that I'm serving you is kosher, they're believed because Eid Echad Neman B'Yisurim. A woman is believed to say if she is or she isn't a Nida. So why here? Why over here do we, the Mishnah seem to say a rule and Ein Adam Neman Aidei Atzmai? So the Pnei Yeshua says that what the Mishnah is not really telling us that a person is never believed regarding themselves. As we just indicated, there are situations where a person is believed about themselves. What the Mishnah is teaching us is that there's a difference between that even the husband of this wife, not only is the wife not believed, but the husband's not believed either. That's what the Mishnah meant to say. The Chasam Sofer wants to say there's a difference between Eschazik Esura and not Eschazik Esura. He says that in our Mishnah, because she was kidnapped, so it's Eschazik Esura, as we're learning, there's a real halachic issue that she might have had these inappropriate relations. But when somebody says that something is kosher, it's not considered as chazik isura. Rabbi Chanan says a very fundamental vart. Rabbi Chanan says that when we say eid echad neman b'isurim, or when we discuss the situation of our Mishnah, it's a very, very different situation, explains Rabbi Chanan. He says, when we have our halacha of eid echad neman b'isurim, explains Rabbi Chanan, what that means is that the Torah says that anybody could say something is kosher. And even though I'm saying about my food that it's kosher, I'm not considered as if I have a personal issue in this Torah that a person we know when he's a party to a situation cannot say testimony. He becomes a negei badover. He becomes the baldin himself. And that's why the Torah trusts me to say that the food is kosher. Our Mishnah, however, explains Rabbi Chanan, is a very, very different situation. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation where what's being discussed is the person himself's status. And the person's coming to say Eidus. A person who is the Baldin himself, a person who is the Nogei Abadover, cannot say testimony regarding something that he personally is involved with. Says the Mishnah, Vermini, ask the Gemara from a different Mishnah. The Mishnah teaches us Masechta Avodah Zarah. Beleshes, if an invading army comes into a city, Basleir, they came to the city. And the question is, did they touch the wine? Did they make the wine Yayin Nesach? Bishash Shalom, if there's no war between this army and the next army, and there's no pressure, we have to Chavis Psuchis, any open barrel, any barrel that's not sealed, asuris, has to be considered asur. Because we have to be concerned that they took the wine and they poured it for avodah zarah. Hastumas, But if they're sealed, so obviously they're mutaris. B'shas mechama, but if it's time of war, elu ve'elu mutaris. We're not concerned about any of the barrels of war. L'fish en lem shem p'nai l'nasech. They're busy with the war, and since they're busy with the war, they don't have time to make the wine yain nesach. So we see that when an army is busy with war, we need not be concerned that they're doing anything else. So ask the Gemara, why in our Gemara are we concerned that they did something else? Answers the Gemara, Amra Meri, live all yesh p'nai, to go have relations, even though they're busy with the war, that they'll find time for. Because as the Tosfos Rid explains, the Yetzer Hara to have relations is a greater Yetzer Hara than to make Yai Nesach. So that's why that they may have had relations with the women, that we need to be concerned about. But Nasech, that's not something that's driving them so much, Elam Pnai. So now comes the Gemara to add that even for Be'ila, even to do that, sometimes there is no opportunity. Says the Gemara, Rav Yitzchak bar Elazar m'shmei d'chizki amar, kan b'karkam oisamachus. If this is a city that they're attacking near their own city, and their intention is to annex that city and make that city pay them tax, so therefore, in that case, they don't want that the invading army should just wreak havoc in this city, because they know that they want this city to become part of their country. And therefore, they're a little more careful in what they do and don't do. But when it's a different country, and they know that they're not going to be remaining here anyway, the distance from their country to this country is very great, they're not going to be annexing this area. Since they're not going to be annexing this area, they don't really care, and they do whatever they want. Shalosh Malchus Nami asked the Gemara, even if the same country, isn't a situation where there's one soldier that will do something wrong, says the Gemara, Amar Yudam Shmuel, the case here is, K'mishmaris Roy Zerazah, they have guards making sure that the soldiers behave. Ask the Gemara, how could you rely on the guards? Aren't one of the guards going to fall asleep? And then while he's sleeping, another soldier could do whatever he wants? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Levi, going to Mahadalel Masa, they put around the city that they're attacking Shulshulta chains, the Kalba dogs, the Gavza and pieces of stick, the Avza and geese. And if anybody attempts to penetrate that border, they'll be caught. And in those circumstances, we need not be concerned that anybody did anything wrong. Omer of Abba Bezavda, Pligiba, this question, that do we need to have such a strong shmira to be confident that nothing happened, is actually, says the Gemara, a machloikus Rabbi Yehuda Nasiv Rabbanan. Chad Omer once said, kan b'karkam shalois malchus, when it's the same country and they're going to be annexing the city, we need not be concerned. The kan b'shal malchus acheres, v'lekash v'leimidi, and he didn't have this question that maybe there's still a soldier that did something wrong, because they see that is as unlikely, and therefore we need not be concerned about it. V'chad Omer, v'chad kash lo kol hani, and one is concerned that we never know what could happen, even though they're not really intending to do anything like this. Mishani, and we gave the answer, and according to that opinion, to make sure that nothing happened. Amrav Idi Bar Oven, Amrav Yitzchak Bar Ashion, Im Yeshom Machbu Achas, but if there's one hiding place where a person could hide from the invading army, Matzalos HaKalas Konam, that is enough to say that we need not be concerned. So the Ramban explains that even though it's large enough that all the kohanim of the city hid there, but it's unlikely that they all did hide there, we could assume that they all were there, and since we could assume that they all were there, that's why we could lenient. That's one pshat the Ramban says. But the other pshat that the Ramban says, that even if the cave where they could hide is not that large, and we can't assume that they all hid in that place, says the Ramban, that since every woman that comes to us could say, I was the woman that hid in that place, that's enough that we could be lenient for every woman. And now the Rishonim, after taking that shot, have another question. That does it have to be that there's such a cave where they could have hidden? And when the woman says that I am the woman that hid there, that's enough that we should be lenient? But she has to say it. Or is the halacha that even if she didn't actually say it, but since we could say that she was in that hiding place, that's enough of a reason to be lenient for all the women. Bar Rabbi Yirmiya says, the Gemara Rabbi Yirmiya says, "Ene machzakas alachs bavad." It only has room for one woman. Mimrin kol chada v'chada haynaha. Do we say that every woman is the woman that hid there? Adim aloy amirin. Says the Gemara, why is this any different from the following Gemara? Maishna, Mishnei Shevilim. You have the Mishnayis Masechta Taharos teach us, where you have two roads. Echa Tameh, one row is for sure Tameh, there's a grave on that road. And Echa Tor, and one road is Tor. V'olach Bechmehem, and now somebody went on one of the roads. V'osa Taharos, and he touched Taharos. And we don't know which road did he go on. And as Tosis points out, the issue here is regarding the status of the Taharis. Can we say that do we have to be concerned or not? The person himself who walked on the road, certainly we have to tell him he should go to the mikveh, because there's a suffix, but it's a suffix that could easily be resolved by telling him to go to the mikveh, so that's of course what we should do. Vasa v'holach echem mehem, vasa Taharis. And we have now this question. But v'chaveri, and now a different person, v'holach b'sheni, went on the second row. And he too also taharis. So one of these people is certainly tamei. We just don't know what, which one. Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda, im nishal zeh b'fnei atzmai, v'zeh b'fnei atzmai, if each person came individually to ask a question, the halacha is taharis. We say that he's tar. But says Tosfos that a person, no one person, could eat all food that went on both roads. The reason he can't eat all food that went on both roads, because I know for sure that some of this food is tamei. Since I know some of this food is tamei, I can't, if I want to eat only tar food, I can't eat all the food. What the Gemara means to say, says Tosfos, that I could eat some of the food and assume that all the food I ate is tar, and somebody else could eat some of the food and assume that the food that he ate is tar, and we don't have to be concerned, and we could be lenient because of Suffolk Tumah B'Rishus HaRabim. However, the Rishonim ask that, isn't there a halacha that we always go with Rav? So if most of the food here is tar, why shouldn't we rely on Bittel HaRav? So Rabbi Chanan explains that here we're not relying on Rav. When we rely on, he says there's a difference between when we rely on Rav versus when we rely on a case of Sofek Tumah B'Rishus HaRabim that we say is Tahar. And he explains as follows. What the Torah says to us when we rely on Rav is that the Rav tells us that everything, that the Rav tells us that this is what it is. That everything, if the rive of the food is kosher, discussed many times, so we say that the Torah told us that this is kosher food. Whereas, says Rabbi Chanan, in our case, where we have two people walking on two roads, and we don't know which person walked on which road, explains Rabbi Chanan, the situation here is just a situation of I don't know what to do. And since we don't know what to do, the halacha tells us that this is what is the halacha. Since it's not that the halacha is giving us a definitive status, the halacha is just telling us Because we have a shayla, this is what we should do. And that's why the situations are considered different than the case of Bittel Barov. But continues the Mishnah, Shnaim Kachas, if they both come the same time to Bezdin, Tmeis. Rav Yosef Omer ben kach, whether they came individually to Bezdin, or whether they came separately, in both cases they're going to be Tamei. And explains Rav Avitam Rav Yochanan that Mishnah. Bebes Achas, if they came one after the other, the shir always is Toichdei Dibur, Divayakol Tmeim, then everybody will agree that we're going to have to say that they're Tamei. Because one person is definitely Tamei. Bezachazah, if they came and they separately, so each person is asking a separate question, and the psak we give one person has nothing to do with the psak that we're giving to the other person. And therefore, everybody will agree to hear. If one of them is asking a question regarding himself and regarding the other person, Ma, Rabbi Yossi considers that like a situation. We're going to have to give an answer. He's asking about both of them, and we're going to give an answer about both of them. So that's considered a situation of basachas. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, even though the asking about both, but each psak is a separate psak. And since each psak is a separate psak, one has nothing to do with the other. Says the Gemara, Hachanami, in the case of the cave, Kiva the Sharla Kula, if we're going to be asked, we're going to be giving a general psak that all the women of this city we could be lenient with, because we could say that they hid in the cave, isn't that Bas Achas? And as the Rishonim explained, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, that in a situation when the question is asked about everybody, we're machmer. So why in our Mishnah, why in our Gemara are we lenient? Answers the Gemara, Hachi Hashtam. Hasam Vadei Ikatumah. As we described the case, somebody certainly walked on a road that's Tamei. We just don't know who was there, that person. So that's why we have to be stricter. Hacha, in the case of our Gemara, we don't know with certainty that any woman was violated. Mi yamid etmi. And that's why it's easier to be lenient. Bar Rav Ashi. Amra loinach beisi v'loinach meisi. If a woman says, I was not in the cave, but she also at the same time says, I also did not have any relations. Mahu. What will be that halacha? Mimrina malo l'shaker. This is a migui. She could have said nechbeisi. And since she could have said nechbeisi, and then we would have been lenient, when she didn't say it, since it's considered a migui, the halacha is, we should be believer. The migui of malo l'shaker. She could have said, oidema loyimrinin. We can't say a migui here. And why can't we say a migui here? So as we're going to see in the Gemara, that even though we have learned in our Masechta often the concept of migui, but migui b'makam edim is not said. And why is this considered a migui b'makam edim? Because there is a level of absolute certainty that any woman who's captured by these akum was violated. And a migui b'makam edim is not something that we could believe. Because a migui always means that we have strong evidence that what she's saying is true. But when there is a migui b'makam edim, and here edim doesn't mean that we have edim saying that she was violated. Because certainly if she had edim that she was violated, we wouldn't be having this discussion. But since we know that all women who are kidnapped are violated, we can't rely on a migui. Ask the Gemara. There was an individual who rented a donkey to someone else. Don't go on the road of Nar P'koid. There's water, and the animal will not be able to survive going through that water. Zil, he told him, go b'ach the Norish, the Lekamayim. That's a road that doesn't have any water on it. And v'azel iu b'ach the Nar P'koid, he went on the road that he wasn't supposed to, and the animal died. Also came to Rava, and they came to Rava. Amalei, and he said, in, I went on that road. However, there was no water. Amar Rava. So Rava says we ought to believe him because Mali Lashakar. Iba, we didn't know any better. Iba Amalei Ba'achad Narash Azli, that he walked on the road that he told him that he should walk on. Amalei Abaya, and Abaya said Mali Lashakar V'makam Edim Layamrinin. By him saying that there was no water on that road, that's a migui against an Anan Sadi, because we know that there's always water there. So isn't that a proof that we don't say migui b'makam edim? Answer Gemara Hakrashta. Hasam vadi ike edim dikamayim. It's certain that there's water there. Hacha vadi itma. We can't say with certainty that she was violated. Chshasha. It's a strong concern, but it's not certain. Even though that's not considered an Anan Sahadi, and therefore, in such a case, we say the Migui of Ma'ala L'Shakar. Im Yesh Edim, but we learned in the Mishnah, if there are Edim that she wasn't violated, the Edim could be a Fila Ever, a Fila Shivcha Nemanim. Says the Gemara, it seems that Fila Shivcha Dada, that even her own Shivcha is Mehemna. And as I saw, the Shita explains what makes the Gemara say this. Because the Mishnah, at the end of the Mishnah, said, Vein Adam Neman Aydei Atzmai. So we see Aydei Atzmai, it's Osir. But anyway, other way, it's Mutter, even if it's her own Shevet. Vermini. The Mishnah Masech, the Gittin Daf Ein Gimel Amabei says, speaks about a case that we've discussed where there's a man who is very ill and he doesn't want his wife to have to fall to Yibam Chalitza upon his death. So he gives his wife a get, and he says that the get should be valid a moment, an hour before he dies. So the halacha is, she may not be alone with this husband after this get is given, unless there are Edim who will make sure that they don't have relations. Everybody could serve as the shomer to make sure that they don't do what they're not supposed to do. Chutz mishivchasa, accept her own shivcha, neshaliba gas b'shivchasa. And therefore, we need to be concerned that she will not refrain from having relations. And we're so concerned that she shouldn't have the relations because we don't know when he's going to die. And since we don't know when he's going to die, the get may be valid. And it'll turn out that she had relations after the get was valid, and this child and a child may be born from those relations, and it'll be very embarrassing that he was a child that was born out of wedlock. Says the Gemara. So we see from here that when we're speaking about somebody's own shivcha, we are much more stricter. So why in our Mishnah are we allowing the shivcha to say testimony that her owner did not do anything wrong? Amra Papi, Shvuya Kila. When we speak about a Shvuya, Chazal were more lenient, and they do allow her Shivcha to say testimony. But Papa Ma, Habe Shivcha the Da. There's a difference between her Shivcha, Habe Shivcha the Day. By his Shivcha, then she doesn't have that relation, and that way we could trust her. Her own Shivcha, we would not trust. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Shivcha the Da. Are we going to be strict with our own shivcha and say that shivcha's loy mehemna is not trusted? But ask the Gemara, Haktani, we learned in our Mishnah, ein adam meidim al atzma, that a person can say testimony about themselves. Maybe the husband can't say testimony, as we learned in the Mishnah. But it seems that any shivcha can, says the Gemara, her shivcha the day, shivcha the da, her own shivcha, our Mishnah seems to clearly indicate, can say edus about her. Answers the Gemara, Shivcha Sanami, her own Shivcha Katzmadami, is considered in halacha like an extension of herself. And if our Mishnah said that she can't say testimony about herself, then the halacha is you can't say testimony, your own Shivcha can't either. Ravashia Mahava B'Shivcha Dida. Shivcha Mechsiv V'Shavska. In the case of the get, the Shivcha will see them having relations and not say anything. That's Hasam, Shtikasam et Terasa. All that we need is her to remain silent. And in her loyalty to her owner, we have to be concerned that she will remain silent. and Lemahemna. Hacha, the shtikasa is sarta. So we're quiet, we're concerned that she'll be quiet, and that's why she won't come and say they had relations. Here, if she's quiet, she'll be the woman will be usher. She's a shvuya. So what it requires in our Mishnah is not just for the shivcha to be quiet. For it requires that the shivcha is coming to say an outright lie. Even though we are concerned about loyalty, loyalty means that they won't say something when they should say something. But loyalty doesn't mean that somebody's going to come and say an explicit lie. Has the Gemara, but why not? Should we not be concerned that Hashtanami Osi Mashakra, that in her loyalty she's going to come and say something which is an absolute lie? Says the Gemara, Tati Loyavda. People don't just say outright lies even if they're loyal. The father came from Bechazah with a young child. Amalei, and this young child said to Mari, "Ploigli benichsi da abba. I am a brother of yours that your father had in Bechazah, and I deserve a share of the Yerusha." Amalei, lo yidanaloch. He said, "I don't know who you are, and why should I believe that you are my brother?" Also, kamei Rav Chisda. So they came to Rav Chisda and Shapa Kamalei, and he said that Mari had a very strong claim. The Ksiv, and the Torah says, as we find that the Torah says, when the brothers of Yosef came to Mitzrayim, and the Pasuk says, V'yakov Yosef es achav, v'heim el kiruah. Melamed shiyotza b'loi chasim ezakim. He went without a beard, or baba chasim ezakim, and he didn't recognize them. So too, he are not recognized as a brother. Amalei, Zal I go bring Adam that you're indeed a brother. And if you'll be able to bring Adam that you're a brother, then we could give you a shear. Amle, Isli Sahadi, I have witnesses, but they don't want to say testimony. The Gavar Almahu, because Ramari is a very strong person, they're concerned to say anything against him. Amle Ladi, so they now told Mari, if that's the case, Zil Aisina at Lavachu, because these are the circumstances, go bring Adam that this individual is not your brother. Amalei, so they Ramari asked Rav Chisda, Din Hachi, is that the din? Don't we know throughout that Locha is Hamaitz Mechaveir Olav Araya? Amalei, so Rav Chisda told Mari, Hocha Danina Loch Lukula Al Mechavruch. This is the way I act in any Vidin Torah when I'm dealing with people who people are scared to see. So we see that what hashta nami asim shakri. So ask the Gemara, if people are scared of Mari, why should we be scared that just like the Gemara is concerned that somebody knows Adis, but they're not going to say it out of fear? Why should we not be concerned that they're not only not going to say Adis out of fear, they're withhold Adis out of fear, they're even going to say a lie? Answers the Gemara, that far, Tati Le'avdi. We're not that concerned that a person is going to say an outright lie. So our Gemara, this is the famous Gemara, V'yaki Yosef Zechov, he recognized them, but they didn't recognize him. So the Siftzei Tzaddik explains that didn't Yosef look like their father Yaakov? So shouldn't, when they saw Yosef, and they saw an individual that has such a strong resemblance to their father, shouldn't that tip them off that this is Yosef? So the Siftzei Tzaddik says that how old was Yosef when this happened? He says Yosef was 37 years old when this happened. They had never seen their father at the age of 37. In other words, says the Siftzei Tzaddik, had they known and seen Yaakov at that age, that would be a very good way for them to recognize Yosef. But they never knew their father at this age, and therefore they couldn't recognize Yosef, even though he had a strong resemblance to his father. Damar V'Shemesh explains this Gemara al Pidrush. He says, the brothers of Yosef, from when Yosef separated from his brothers, were no longer were on the same level of Yerushalayim. Since they were no longer on that level of Yerushalayim, explains the Mar V'Shemesh, they were the same when they came to Yosef after all these years, as they were when Yosef left them many years later, and that's why Yosef was able to recognize them. However, says the Maor Shemesh, Yosef, as we know, Yosef HaTzadik, even though he was in the terrible place called Mitzrayim, he grew in his Yerushalayim. He grew in his Avodas Hashem, even though he was in that terrible place. So says the Maor Shemesh, V'yakeh Yosef as Echov, he was able to recognize them because they were the same now as they were when he left them. But they couldn't recognize him because he had grown in his Avodas Hashem and Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara, Lema Ketanai. So suggests the Gemara that this is Machlokes Tanayim. The Brisa says, Zu Edis, this Edis, to say that the Shvuya, nothing happened, is an Edis that Isha Tinek, or Tinekus, a man, a woman, a child, Aviv, Ema, Achiv, Achisa, are all trusted, Avaloi, Benav, Avaloi, Bita, not her children, like Avdav, Shavchasai, V'tani Idach, and another Brisa says, Hakal Namanim Lahoid, everybody could say Edis, Chutz Mimena, she herself, Ubala. Says the Gemara, Rapapi Ravashi, the question that Rapapi and Ravashi have been discussing about the Shivcha, suggests the Gemara, Tanoihi, isn't that the machlokes of these brises? Rapapa, what Rapapa said, that the Shivcha is not trusted, that they're certainly following the second brisa that says that a Shivcha is trusted. Rapapa, who said a Shivcha is not trusted, Lema Tanoihi, Amla Rapapa, Rapopikit says that I can reconcile my opinion with both Bryces. The second Bryce says that only she and her husband are not believed, clearly indicating that the Shivcha is believed. And you've been saying throughout our Shir that the Shivcha is not believed. Says the Gemara, Ki Tanya he, when is the Shivcha believed? But Mesich Lefituma, only if it's a situation of Mesich Lefituma. He said a story, Masabal of Rav and Levi. Vamle Rav Shub and Levi Mishtoi. Rav Shub and Levi was the one that said it. The Masabal of Rebbe. Ba'adam Echachai Mesich Lefitumai. There was an individual who was Mesich Lefitumai. Omar Aniva Ami Nishbeinu Lebenav Dekachavim. I and my mother were kidnapped. Yitzasi Lashay Mayim. Even if I went to get some water, Dati Al Imi. I was watching my mother. Lalak Eitz, if I went to gather wood, Dati Al Imi. So it was a Mesich Lefitumai, Mesih Rebbe Lekun Al Piv, and Rebbe allowed the mother to get married to a Kohen. So Rebbe Papa is saying that indeed maybe normally a Shivcha is not Neman. However, if it's a situation, as we discussed previously, a Mesich Lefitumai, that Rebbe Papa will say is where she is believed.